Today, Shir's in Masechta Chulin on Daf Kuf Yud Zayin. We will begin with the last mission in the Perek at the bottom of Daf Kuf Tes Zayin Amud Beis. Our Mishnah discusses a pasuk found in Vayikra Perek Gimel Pasuk Yud Zayin, where the Torah tells us, Kol Chelev V'chol Dam Loisei Chelu, that one is not allowed to eat Chelev, the forbidden fats, even in a kosher animal, and also the dum of an animal should not be eaten. Both of these isurim, chelev and dum, b'mezid, if it was done intentionally, there is a chiv of kores. Bidei shamayim, the person is nifter before the age of 50, he's cut off from this world. And if it is done b'shogeg, these two averas, they both have the same halacha, that a chatas, a korban chatas, must be brought. Our Mishnah here will teach us the chumras that chelev has over dam, and the chumras that dam has over chelev. Begins the Mishnah. Chomer b'chelev mi b'dam, v'chomer b'dam mi b'chelev. Chelev has certain isurim which are more chomer than dam, and likewise dam has some prohibitions that are more severe than chelev. And the Mishnah begins with chomer b'chelev, the ones that are more chomer, more stringent by chelev. Sheha chelev, as we turn to Daf Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Alef, moyalin boy. As it says in Vayikra, Perek Hei Pasuk Tezvav, nefesh kisimol mal v'chata b'shkaga mikotche Hashem. That as long as an item is considered kotche Hashem, that it belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if someone b'shogeg, unintentionally, has pleasure from that which belongs to Hashem, then he is over on Mi'ilah, as the Lashon of the Pasuk is Kisimo Mal, and on that he has to pay the Karen, he has to pay what he had pleasure from, what he derived pleasure from, he has to add a Chomesh, a fifth, and he has to also bring an Hashem Mi'ilos, a special Korban Hashem. And concerning chelev, one is moel in chelev, and as the Gemara will explain, the chiddush of the Mishnah here is that not only kotche kotchim, which even when they're alive belong to Hashem, they're mishulchan gavoya, they're coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and there's certainly a din me'ila on them, so after death the chelev, there is a din me'ila, but the bigger chiddush is kotche kalim, like a shlomim, where mechayim, it's mum and bailim, it belongs to the owner, and even so, after the shechita, when the forbidden chelev is taken out, if someone b'shogeg would have benefit from that chelev, he would be chayiv a Karen Chomish V'Ashem, and the Gemara will teach us how we know that it is considered Kotche Hashem, as Rashi says, in the first Rashi on the top of the Amid, in Korbenu da Kotche Hashem Hein, Ve'enam L'Kohanim, the Chelev is not to the Kohanim, it has to be brought on the Mizbeach, and there is a Halach of Mila, both by Kotche Kotchem and by Kotchem Kalim. However, by Dam, as we'll see, there is no Din Me'ila. Continues the Mishnah, v'chayov and olav, and on chelev one is chayev, mishum pigul, v'noiser v'tomei. Let us explain each of these three dinim. There is halacha of pigul. In other words, if b'shas, one of the four avodos, the shechita, the kabbalah, the acceptance of the dam, the halacha, walking to the mizbeach, the zrika, sprinkling it on the mizbeach, if during one of those avodos, the Kohen had a machshava to eat the parts of the Korban that could be eaten by the Kohen, or the parts that are going to be nikrav on the Mizbeach, if he had a kavana to do that at the wrong time, after the allotted time, let's say a shlomim is 2 days and one night, so the halacha is the Korban becomes mefugal, it becomes pigal. Subsequently, if one eats from that korban, which is pigal, there's a chiyuv b'mezid, of course, and b'shoigeg, there is a chatos. So if someone ate chaylev of the chatos, not only of the which is pigled, not only would he be chayiv b'shoigeg for chaylev, he would also be chayiv for pigled. If he did it b'mezid, then there would be kores, so there wouldn't be any difference, because in Bezdin Shel Mala, he would receive kores. However, b'shogeg, there will be a difference that he's chayiv, in fact, two chatos, if he did a b'shogeg, eating the chaylev, which is pigel. And who would in v'noiser? If it's not just the machshava, but the fact was that the korban was not brought on the mizbeach in its correct time, then it remains nicer. If it wasn't eaten up in 2 days and one night by a korban shlomim, it was eaten after its proper time, it's nicer. B'mezid, there's kores. B'shoigig, there's chatos. So again, if it's chaylev of nicer, one is chayv two chatos, one for the chaylev and one for the nicer. V'tame, as Rashi explains, that if the chaylev was eaten when the person had a tumas haguf, he was tamei, and he did a b'shoigeg, he's chayv two chatois, one for eating chaylev and one for eating kachim with tumas haguf, which b'mezid would have been karis. And then the Mishnah continues, Masha enkem b'dam, that if by dam there was me'ila or pigul or noiser or tamei, there is no halacha, he is not chayv b'shoigeg two chatois, he would only be chayiv by dam, which is from a korban that is mefugol, he would only be chayiv one koras b'mezid, and b'shoigeg he would only be chayiv one chatas, and the same for nois, and the same for tamei. He would not be chayiv me'ila for dam. We'll learn all this in the Gemara. So that's how chaylev is more chomer than dam. Continues the Mishnah, v'chomer b'dam, and dam is more chomer than chaylev, shadam noyeg b'behema v'chayiv v'oif. Dam is noeg by a animal and a wild animal, a chaya, and a bird, bein tmeim, bein taharim, whether it's a kosher animal, whether it's not kosher. But v'chelev, einoi noyeg, ela b'behem atar b'vad. It is only noeg by a kosher animal, as Rashi brings the pasuk in Vayikra, Perek Zayin, min ha'behema asher yakrivu mimena. It's only an iser of chelev from those animals that are brought on the Mizbeach, which are a shore, a cattle, a goat, and a keves, a sheep. Those are the animals which can be brought on the Mizbeach. Those are the kosher animals. Those are the only animals which have a chi of chelev, whereas dam is by all animals, behem achayv oif, bein tmeim, bein tahorim. Rabbi Kiva Eger, in the Tosis Rav Akiva Eger on Mishnayos, asks a very interesting question here on the Shita of Ze'iri, which is found in Menachos Daf Chaf Aleph, where there Ze'iri makes a distinction between blood and dam and chaylev as far as mevushel, if it's cooked. Chaylev mevushel is aser, dam mevushel, according to Ze'iri, is mutter. Whereas the Chachamim make no distinction, and they're both osir. Chelev and dam avushel are both osir. Ziri says dam avushel is mutter. Asks Rabbi Akiva Eger that why didn't the Gemara bring a proof from this Mishnah against Ziri? We see clearly from this Mishnah that Ziri is not correct, because the Mishnah doesn't include this fact. It should have said that, you know how chelev is more chomer than dam if it's cooked. Chelev, according to Ziri, is aser. Dam, if it's cooked, is mutter. The Mishnah doesn't say that. It would indicate that both are aser, not like Ziri. So we see we don't hold over Ziri. The problem Rabbi Akiva Eger has is, why didn't the Gemara in Menachos Daf Chaf Aleph bring our Mishnah as a refute of Ziri? From our Mishnah, you see that Ziri is incorrect, and Rabbi Akiva Eger remains with a question on this kasha. Continues the Gemara. Menohani Mili. How do we know, as Rashi explains, that fact that we learned in the Mishnah when we explained moyalin boy, that it means whether it was kache kachim or whether it was kache kalim, even though in the lifetime of the animal it was mum and bilim, yet Rashi says, after shechita of the animal, that there is halacha of me'ila. Rashi at the end of the Divrei Maskil Minani Mili, yesh by me'ila be'emu rehem la'achar shenizrak damen, that after there's rikas hadam, and now you're going to bring certain parts of the animal on the mizbeach, including, as we said in the Mishnah, the chaylev. How do we know that by kachim kalim, even though it was mom and bailim, when it was alive, but after death, it will be considered kachay Hashem, for which there would be halacha of me'ilah. Since we mentioned the word emureyim in Rashi, it's interesting to see what the makar of this word, which we have so often in kachim, emureyim, that it refers to those parts of the animal that are nikrav on the mizbeah. Why are they called emureyim? So we actually have three different reasons for this. The first one is the Tosfos Yontif, in Masechta Pesachim, Perek Hei Mishnah Yud, who brings the Rambam in his Hagdamah to Pirush HaMishnayos of Kachim, and he says that the word Emoreim comes from the word Amar. In other words, this is what the Torah said has to be brought on the Mizbeach, Amar Emurim. The Tveris Yisrael there in the Mishnayos brings from the Orach that the word Emoreim comes from the word Mar, which means master. There are certain parts of the animal that belong to the Kayin or to the Yisrael to eat. However, these are the parts of the animal that have to be brought on the Mizbech because they belong to Mar, they belong to the master, hence the word Emureyim. And finally, we have the Pshat of the Mishnah Lamelech in Perik Aleph Halacha Yudches of Hilchas Maaser Karbanis. And so the Yochin there in the Mishnah Pesachim says that it comes from the word Hafrasha. For example, we're going to have later in today's daf, Trumas Hadeshen, which means the separating of the ashes. So the word Emureyim comes from that same Shoresh, and it means these are the parts of the animal that are separated and are brought on the Mizbeach. Back to our sugya. Minohani Mili, how do we know that even Kotshe Kalim, the Chelev, has a din of Kotshe Hashem, and there is a din of Mila? Amar Avyani de Amar Kra, because the Pasuk says the following, and we find this pasuk brought down in Vayikra Perik Dalet pasuk Yud. And actually, to understand the limit of the Gemara, we have to go back to Psukim, to Perik Dalet pasuk Ches and Tes. The Psukim there, as Rashi points out, are speaking concerning the Par Koyin Mashiach, the Mashuach, the Koyin Gadol doesn't have Vera, for which he has to bring a par, which is referred to as the par koyin mashiach. So the psukim there delineate exactly which pieces of the korban, the emurim, have to be brought on the mizbeach. And the pasuk says there, perik dalet pasuk ches in vayikra ve'es kol chelav parachatas yor mimenu es hachelav hamachas ala kerev es kol hachelav asher ala kerev, and then ve'es shteyak loyois. This is in Pasuk Tes, Vesachelev Asher Aleina, Asher Alek Solem, Vesa Yiseres Alekovit, Alekloyos Yisirena. So the Torah there is telling us to take the Chelev that covers the intestines, the Chelev that are on top of the intestines, the two kidneys, and the Chelev on them, the flanks, and also remove the diaphragm with the liver and the kidneys. And then here's the Pasuk that our Gemara quotes, Pasuk Yud, Kasher Yura Mishor Zevach Hashlamim Viktira Makoyin Al Mizbeach Hoyla, that these parts of the animal, of the chatos of the Koyin Meshuach, have to be brought on the Mizbeach, just like we find that we separate Kasher Yuram, again the word Emurim from Yuram, Kasher Yuram, like it's separated, Mishor Zevach Hashlamim. So the Gemara's question is, it seems that Zevach HaShlamim is a melamed, is teaching us about the par of the Kohen Mashiach. But really, once you've delineated so thoroughly all the parts of the par Kohen Mashiach that have to be brought on the Mizbeach, so what is there left to learn from the Shlamim? V'chima lo madnu mishor Zevach HaShlamim me'ata. Now, if you've done such a thorough job of telling us what has to be brought from the Kohen Par Kohen Mashuach, so what's left to learn from the shores of HaShalavim? The answer is, HaReze Bo L'Lamed V'Nimtza Lamed. Instead of having the shores of HaShalavim teach us about the Par Kohen Mashuach, it's just the opposite. We're going, instead of being the teacher, the Zevach HaShalom comes out to be that which is learnt from the real teacher. The real teacher is the Par Kohen Mashiach, who's teaching us about the Shor Zevach HaShalom. How is it teaching us? Continues the Gemara. Makish Shor Zevach HaShalom LePar Kohen Mashiach. We compare the ox of the Zevach HaShalom to the par of the Kohen Mashiach. Ma Par Kohen Mashiach Yesh Boi Me'ila. Just like the Par Kohen Mashiach has Me'ila, because while it's alive, it's Kotche Kotchim, and that certainly has a din of Me'ila. It's certainly called Kotche Hashem. So too, from that we learn out, Afshor Zevach HaShalom, Yesh Boi Me'ila, it also has Mila in the Chelev that's brought on the Mizbeach after the Zrikas Adam, even though Mechayim, it was Kotchim Kalim, which was Mom and Balaam, which belong to the Baal. So that's how we learn out this halacha. Amalei Rab Chanina, so Rab Chanina said to Rabbi Yanai, Chaur Zu Shoshana Rebbe, is it disgusting for you that which Rebbe learned? In other words, we have a limit from Rebbe. Why isn't Rebbe's limit good enough? Rebbe taught us that we find in the parsha of Me'ila, Kol Chelev Lashem, L'Rabois, Imurei Kachim Kam L'Mila. The Pasuk says that Me'ila is not just on Chelev Lashem that belongs to Hashem, but Kol Chelev, what is that being marble? What's it adding, that extra kol? It's adding the pieces of the Kachim Kalim, of the Shlomim, for example, that it also has a din of Mila. That's why the Chelev of Shlomim have a din of Mila, from the Pasuk that Rebbe learns. Why are you bringing a new Pasuk? Amar Abaya Itzrach. We need both the limit of Rebbe as well as what Rav Yanai said. Amar Abaya Itzrach. The Kasa Rachman Chelev. Had the Torah only said the limit of Rebbe of Chelev, Havamina, I would have thought Chelev in. The Chelev is included in Kotche Hashem. There's a Din Mi'ila. But all those other things that are delineated in the Pasuk of the par, Kohen Mashiach, for example, Yoseres, the diaphragm, Ushtei Kloyes, the two kidneys, they're not called Chelev, so loy, they wouldn't be included in Kotche Hashem, that there should be a Din Me'ila. So therefore, Kosa Rechmona Kasher Yuram. That's why the Torah had to bring us the Pasuk of Kasher Yuram, make a comparison between the Zevach HaShlomim and the par, Kohen Mashiach, and then we are able to know all the other things, not just Chelev, but all these other things as well. And Ve'i Kasher Rachmana, Kasher Yuram, and if the Torah would have only have said Kasher Yuram, Havam, and I would have said that Chelev Alya, Delesa Bishor Loi, that if somebody brought a sheep and there was fat in the tail of the sheep, which we don't find such a item, is brought on the Mizbeach, because the shore doesn't have a fatty tail, so it's not brought as one of the murim on the Mizbeach. So I would have thought that Chelev Ha'alya is called Alyas HaKeves, we refer to it, says Rashi. It's the fat tail of the sheep. But there would, if you brought a keves for shlamim, there would not be a din me'ila, because it's not referred to as chelev. It's referred to as the fatty tail of the sheep. So chelev al yidalesa b'shor loi, and I wouldn't be able to learn that out from kasher yuram, which is not speaking about a sheep. So I would have no way to know that chelev alya is included. Kasser rachmana kol chelev. That's why I need the pasuk of Rebbe as well, Kasher Yuram, is not enough, that Kol Chelev will be Marba even the chelev ha'alya, as Rashi says, because we find in Vayikra Gimel that chelev ha'alya is also referred to as chelev, as the pasuk says, chelbe ha'alya tmima. So once I find a pasuk that the chelev ha'alya is referred to as chelev, it can be included in Rebbe's pasuk. So I need Kasha Yuram, and I need the pasuk of Rebbe as well. Amalei Rav Mori Rav Zvid, Rav Mori said to Rav Zvid, E alya ikre chelev. If you're telling me that alya is referred to as chelev, and that's why it's included in the pasuk, in Vayikra Vav, pasuk tes vav, kol chelev lashem, it's included in that pasuk that it's considered something where there would be a din me'il on. So then titzer b'achila. So then, as the Mefarshim explained, why don't we also include it in the pasuk that we began today's shir with, kol chelev v'chol dam lo yisei chelu? If there's a din me'il on it, let there be an isser, let it be called chelev, l'gabi the isser of kol chelev lo yisei chelu. Omar lei, so he responded, alecha merkra, concerning you, the pasuk says, kol chelev shor v'chesev v'eiz, because there's another pasuk, in Vayikra Zayin Pasuk Chav Gimel, which says, Dabra Bnei Yisrael Lamer, Kol Chelev Shor V'Chesev Eiz, Lois Chelu. So, therefore, I see that Chelev has to be something that has a common denominator in Shor Chesev Eiz. It has to be in all of them. Dabra Shavah B'Shor V'Chesev Eiz. It has to be such a Chelev to be included in the Isser V'Achilas Chelev that applies to a shor, a kesev, and an eiz. And this only refers to a sheep, and not to a shor and an eiz, and therefore it's not part of the isser of loisa chelu of chelev. Ravashi Omar, Ravashi wants to give a different answer and explain why it's not part of the isser of chelev, the alya of a sheep, because the girsa of the Masoret HaShas is chelev alya ikri. We do find that alya is referred to as chelev, but it's not chelev alone, it's with a noun with it, the chelev of the alya. So it has that extra word, chelev alya, as we find in the pasuk. The pasuk says in Vayikra Paragimel pasuk test. The pasuk says, "V'hikrav mizevach hashlam, ishal Hashem, chelboy ha'alya tmima." So we find it referred to as chelev ha'alya ikri, but chelev stam lo ikri, chelev by itself, it's not called. Therefore, it's not part of the iser of eating chelev, because you don't find it referred to as chelev alone. Fredi gemor al miyativ. So, if you're saying it's not part of the yisur, lo yimalu bo, so why do I say that it's included in the pasuk by me'ila of kol chelev lashem? If it's never referred to as chelev, and that's why it's not usher to eat, there shouldn't be a din me'ila in it either. Ela mechvarti ki Rav Zvid. The real answer has to be like what we learned before from Rav Zvid, that we are marber it from the pasuk of kol chelev lashem, because we do find that it's called chelboy, it's referred to as chelev. Ah, you're asking me why it's not part of the isser of chelev to eat. The answer is because by chelev to eat, there's a special requirement that has to be shava equal by shor kesev eiz, and this is only by the kesev and not by the shor eiz. That's the reason why it's not included in the isser of eating chelev. Continues the Gemara. The next part of the Mishnah said, Mashen came by dam. By dam, there is no din me'ila, as well as the other dinim of pigel noiser v'tami. Ask the Gemara, menohani mili. The Gemara asks the same question as it asked before. How do we know that there is no din of me'ila by dam? The Meram Shif points out in Pashup Shad in the Gemara that from the first part of our Gemara, right after the Mishnah, where the Gemara asked, menohani mili, what was the Gemara asking there? How do we know that there is a din of me'ilah by chelev? So you see that the outside svara, the reason Gemara needs a pasuk, is the outside svara tells us that there shouldn't be a din of me'ilah. Yet over here, when it comes to dam, the Gemara is saying, how do we know that by dam there is no me'ilah? It seems to be the outside svara is that there should be me'ilah. It's how can you have it both ways? So the Meram Shif says a very good pashup shot, that the Gemara before, which was going on Chelev, and you're telling me that Chelev, as Rashi explained, is not only Kachay Kachim, but it's even Kachay Kalim, which Mechaim is Mum and Bailim. So I have a good Kasha. How do you know something that Mechaim is Mum and Bailim? There's still a din that after the Shechita, the Chelev that's being brought on the Mizbeach has a din of Kachay Hashem, that there is a din Mila. That's the question there. But now we're going just the opposite. By dum, the din is that not only by kachin kalim is there no mila, there's not even mila by kachin kachim. So on that, the Gemara asks, how can we go now to the other extreme that we won't consider dum, which was part of an animal while it was alive, which was kachin Hashem? How now, after the shechit of the animal, do we say that there's no din of me'ila in the dam, even of kachay kachim? So that's why we're asking, minoani mili. On the kachay kachim, there for sure should be a din me'ila. Amar Ullah. So Ullah answers, the Amar Kra lachem. The pasuk says lachem. Now actually we're going to have three lamudim here. They're all going to be from the same pasuk. The Gemara on Amud Beis is going to explain why we needed actually three lamudim. What is the pasuk, which we find in Vayikra Perek Yud Zayin pasuk Yud Aleph? Ki nefesh habasa bedam hu vanina sativ lachem al mizbech lechaper al nafshei seichem ki adam hu benefesh yechaper. So we have three words here which are going to teach us this limit that there's no din me'ila by dam. The first one is said by Ullah, and the Gemara here goes according to the order that we find in the pasuk. The first limit is from the word lochem. I have given dam to you, and the limit is shalochem yehe. It belongs to you, and as Rashi explains, it's not mine that it should be considered kachay gavoa, that you should have a din me'ila, but rather it's given to you, and it is not considered mine. The second limit, the Bei Rabbi Shmuel, we learned in the Beis Medrash of Rabbi Shmuel, Tana, Lechaper, the Pasuk says, Vanina Satav Lechem Alam Izbeach Lechaper, that there should be a Kapora, and we learn out, Lechapora Nasatav Eloi Lameila. I gave it that you should have Zrikas Adam on the Mizbeach, which should affect the Kapora, and not that it should be considered mine, that you should be moil in it. The only purpose the dam has is to serve as a vehicle of forgiveness for you, of kapara. And finally, the last one in the order of the pasuk is the word who. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Amar Kra, the pasuk says who, because the pasuk ends off, al nafshei seichem ki adam hu benefesh yechaper. Who, Rashi explains, b'haviyasa yehe, the way it was, that's the way it should remain. What does that mean? Hu lifnei kapora kalacha kapora. It is identical before the kapora to after the kapora. Ma lacha kapora ein by meila, just like after the zrikas adam. So Rashi explains the shirayim, the blood that is left over. So there's no din meila on that dam, and that we're going to learn soon, because anything in which the mitzvah was done has no din of mila. Here the mitzvah was done because you did the zrikas dam on the mizbeach, and that affected the kapora. So just like la'achar kapora, there's no din mila. So I say who? It's the same. It remains identical. Af lifnei kapora, before the kapora, ein by me'ila, there is no me'ila. Ask the Gemara on this third limud, ve'ema hu la'achar kapora, kalifnei kapora. Why don't we flip it just the other way around? Let's compare after the kapora to before the kapora. Ma lifnei kapora yesh by mila, af lacha kapora yesh by mila. Maybe I'll say there is kapora before mila, and after there is, just like before kapora there is mila, so too after kapora there is mila. So the Gemara says, no, you have to begin with the premise that after kapora there is no din mila, because ein loch dover shenasa mitzvasa yomarlem boy. There's nothing where the mitzvah was done, like here where you have zrikas adam, and that you still will be moil. That's a rule, and therefore we have to go the reverse. Who? Just like after the kapora there's no mila, because the mitzvah was already done, and therefore kaidem kapora, we say it's like lacha kapora, that there is no din mila. Ask the Gemara, v'loi, is that a fact that anything that was nasa mitzvasai where the mitzvah was already done, there's no din milavare, trumas hadeshen, by trumas hadeshen, we find din nasa mitzvah sayum oilam boy, that even though the mitzvah was done, there is a din of milah. What is this halacha of trumas hadeshen? So the first mitzvah every day in the Beis HaMikdash, which was done on the Mizbeach HaChitzon, is to take, the Kohen would take the Trumas HaDeshen, the ash from the Karbonis of yesterday. He would separate a shovel full, a Maloi Machta, of this ash. He would put it on the side of the ramp next to the Mizbeach, and through a miracle, after he put it there, the ash was swallowed up in the ground. But let's say right after he placed it there, did he have a right to have any hanoah from that ash? The answer is no. There's an iser, it needs geniza, it has to be swallowed up by the ground, you can't use it in between. And even though here we're speaking about nasa mitzvasai, you did the mitzvah of Trumas HaDeshen, you separated it, you put it next to the Mizbeach, and yet you're telling me it's Aser Banah. So that means that there is a din of Mila on something which was Nasa Mitzvah. V'arei Trumas HaDeshen, Nasa Mitzvah, Umoylem Boy, there is a din Mila Dechsiv. How do I know that there's a din Mila Dechsiv? It's Samo Yetz on Mizbeach. You have to place it next to the Mizbeach, you have to leave it there, you have to wait till it gets swallowed up. You cannot have any Anah from it. So we see that there is something where Nasa Mitzvah, where is it din Mila? So maybe we should learn that L'chola Torah Kola from Trumas HaDeshen, that anything that's Nasa Mitzvah, there is a din Mila. And then we'll say that Kaidim Kapora, there's a din Mila, and L'acha Kapora is a din Mila, and we'll learn it from Trumas HaDeshen. How do you know that L'acha Kapora, there is no din Mila? Let's learn from Trumas HaDeshen, there is. So the Gemara answers, no. Mishum Davi Trumas HaDeshen Ubig Dekuna Shnei Ksuv Mabom Ke'echad. There are two places where Nasa Mitzvasai, there's a Din Me'ila. And we have a rule that if the Torah wanted us to learn it from one place, they would have only put it in one place. Once they made two places that teach us the same limud, then we say those are the two exceptions to the rule. The rule is Nasa Mitzvasai, there is no Din Me'ila. It's only these two things that have it in Mila. What's the second one? Big Dekuna. And because the halacha is, as Rashi brings down, that the four white begadim that the Kohen Gadol wore on Yom Kippur, he was not allowed to ever use it again. And we're going according to the Man D'Yomer, we'll soon see it's a machlokas, but we're going according to the Man D'Yomer that any Kohen Hedget could not use those four white begadim for his daily avoda during the year. It had to be set aside, and no one could use it. So here it's Nasa Mitzvah. So it was used by the Kohen Gadol and Yom Kippur, and it was Nasa Mitzvah. So you're telling me that you cannot use it for any other purpose. There would be a din meal on it. So now I have Trumas HaDeshen and Big Dekuna. So they are Shneksuma Bomkev, Chol Shneksuma Bomkechad, Ein Melamdin. We can't learn that to anywhere else. Ask the Gemara, Hanichla Rabban and Amri. It's good according to Rabban who learned from the Pasuk of Vehinicham Sham, which we find in Vayikra Tezayin Pasuk Chav Gimel, where the Pasuk says, Uvo Aaron El Oil Moyet, Upashat is Big Day Habad, Asher Lovish Bevoy El Akadish, Vehinicham Sham. So the Chachamim learn out that Vehinicham Sham teaches us Malamed, Shetuunin Gniza, you have to hide them. They have to be put away that no one is allowed to use it, not the Kohen Gadol next year, not the Kohen Hedget during the year. Ella Rab Daisa, but what are you going to do according to Rab Daisa to Omar? Shalo Yishtamish Bem Liyom Kippur Macher, that it's only an injunction against the Kohen Gadol, that he's not allowed to use it again for next Yom Kippur. But a regular Kohen Hedget was allowed to use it, Mayikal Amemer. So then it comes out that by Big Dekuna, there is no halacha that you cannot be moil in it. You are allowed to use it. Just this Kohen Gadol can't use it again next year. But Kohen Hedget could use it. So it comes out, we only have one Pasuk, Trumas HaDeshen, where something that Nasa Mitzvasai is Moyalin Boy. If so, our question comes back, So let that teach us for Chol HaTorah Kula. And by Dam, we should say Dam La'achar Kapor has Mila, and Dam Lifnei Kapor would have Mila. Our question comes back. Ella, Mishum Dehavi Trumas Hadeshin Ve'egla Rufa Shnei Ksum HaBom Kechot. Chol Shnei Ksum HaBom Kechot, Eim Lamdim. We have another one. We have, besides Trumas Hadeshin, we have Egla Rufa. They will be two which are moyel after the mitzvah was done, and that cannot teach for anywhere else. Anywhere else, the rule will be there is no meal after the mitzvah was done, and these two are the exceptions. What's the exception of Egla Rufa? So we find in Parshas, in Sefer Dvorim, Perek Chaf Aleph, in the Parsha of Egla Rufa from Pasuk Aleph to Pasuk Tes, where if someone finds a mace, a person was murdered, and it's in the open, and we don't know who the murderer is. So the zakenim of the town that's closest, they measure off, they see which is the closest town to the mace. So they have to bring a egla, a calf. They have to bring a tenachal asan, an untilled valley. They have to do egla arufa, they have to decapitate it from the back of the neck. Then they have to wash their hands over this egla arufa, and they have to declare that they were not responsible for the murder. Yadenu lo shafchus adam hazeh. We are not responsible for this murder. And there the Torah says, v'orfu shum esa egla benachal. They should take an axe and chop off the back of the neck of the calf there in the valley. The question is, why is that extra word shum there? Varfu shum. So from there, we learn out, as the last line of Rashi on the Amud tells us, shum tehekvu rasa. The Gemara increases, the Vav learns out, that is where the Egla Rufa has to be buried. And meaning that you cannot have any hanoah after the decapitation takes place, it has to be buried right there, and no one can have any hanoah from it. So here we have a second halacha where nas the mitzvah, sorry, no hanoah after the mitzvah was done. There's a din of me'ilah. So shnei ksum habom kechad eim alamdin. Anywhere else the din will be like dam. After zrikas adam, after the kapara, there will not be a din of me'ilah. Ask the Gemara. That's good if we hold that two psukim that come together for the same lesson cannot teach for the rest of the Torah. But there is a man d'yomer who disagrees and says that two psukim that come together could teach. So then the question comes back, why don't we learn from Egla Rufa and from Trumas Hadeshin that something that Nasa Mitzvasi, it's still possible to have Mila. Dam should therefore, after Zrikas Adam and before the Zrikas Adam, there should be a din Mila. The answer is, says the Gemara, Trey, as we turn to the Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Beis, Trey Mi'utek Sivi. Because in each of these two psukim that say that something that's Nasa Mitzvasi, there is Mi'ilah, each one has a Mi'it. And even the Man D'Yomer who says Shnei Ksum HaBom Kechad, Melamdim tells us, Rashi agrees that if there's a specific exclusionary word in the pasuk, or in each pasuk, then he agrees, then you cannot learn it for the whole Torah. Trei me'utik sivi. There are two exclusionary words. Hacha, here by Trumas Hadeshin, ksiv v'samoy. You should put it, you should put the ashes, just it. Only here there's a din, nasa mitzvasa, there's a din of me'ila. And hasam there, by egla rufa ksiv, ha'arufa, the one that was decapitated. Why the one? Hey, Ayidia, to teach us, only here does it din Mila, nowhere else. So therefore, we don't have any limud that something that was Nasa Mitzvah, there's a din Mila, and therefore we say there is no din Mila, and therefore Dam, before Kapora, has the same din as Dam, after the Kapora, that there is no din of Mila, and therefore we can learn it out from, as Rabbi Yochanan said, the word who. Lifnei kapara, kila acher kapara. Now the Gemara asks another question. Utlasa kroy lamali. We learned on Amud Aleph, three lamudim. Why dam there's no demila? We learned from the word lachem, from lachaper, and from who. Why do we need all three? The Gemara answers, chad lamutim in noiser. One, to tell us that there is no din of dam noiser, that one would be chayav two chatois if they ate dam of noiser. V'chad l'mu'ute me'mila, there's no dam of me'ila. V'chad l'mu'ute me'tumah. By me'ila, there's no keren chaymish v'asham. because there's no din mila by the dam, and then if he ate the dam betumas hagof, he would b'shoigeg, there would not be two chatois, there would only be a chatas for dam and not for eating kachim in a state of tuma. But there was a fourth item which chaylev had, which dam doesn't have, and that's pigel. The Gemara says you don't need a limit for pigel. Avami pigel like zarkra. This nun we learned in the Mishnah in Zvachim daf mem gimel amid alef kol shiyesh lematirin. Bein lo adam ubein lo mizbech hayavna lo mishum pigel. When is there a loch of pigel? Only by something that has a different item is making it mutter. For example, by shlomim, the dam, the zrikas adam, is matter the adam, is matter the koyin to eat his chalek, is matter the bilem to eat his chalek. That's the dam for the person. Also, after zrikas adam, that's when the emurim are put on the mizbeach for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So something else is being matter these portions of the animal. So then, if someone is mefagel, has a machshava to eat the korban chutz lizmanoi, not at the right time, during one of the four avoidus, then there'll be a din of pigel on the animal. But by dam itself is a matter. If dam itself is a matter, it doesn't need anything else to be matter it. There the halacha is, there's no din of pigel. That's what the Gemara is saying. Kol sheyesh lematirin. Anything that needs something else to be matter it. Bein lo adam bein lo mizbeach. Zrikas adam is matter the adam to eat. It's matter the emurim to be put on the mizbeach. Then chayav no lov mishum pigel. Then those items, there's a din of pigel on those items. But v'dam guf e materu, dam itself is a mater, it doesn't need anything else. There the halach is, you're not chayv on pigol. And Rashi, the last Rashi, at the end of this parak, tells us that pigol is learned out from shlomim. And by shlomim, we learn out, just like shlomim have something else that is mater them, which means, referring to the zrikas adam, it's matur la'odim ulam izbeach, and there is chayav n'alav mishum pigel. So af kol, everything that has another matur, we learn out from shlomim, that's when there's a lach of pigel, and that excludes dam, which is itself a matur. It doesn't have anything else to be maturit, so the dam itself, there is no dim pigel. So on dam, I don't need a special pasuk. I learned that out from shlomim, as Rashi brings down that limud. I don't need a special miut. However, what do I use these three miyutim for? The miyutim of lachem and lachaper and hu, that's learnt out for noiser, me'ila, and tuma. For all those who have completed perek kolabasar, we recite three times, hadron alach kolabasar, hadron alach kolabasar, hadron alach kol habasar. And now we begin the ninth perek in Masechta Chulin. The name of the perek is Arva Raitev. And this parak has to do with Tumas Oichlin and Tumas Neveilois. Why is it put here? So Toisus, the first Toisus in the parak explains, because in the fourth parak Behema Makasha, we learned a halacha concerning something that is not Metama Tumas Oichlin or Tumas Neveilois. So that's why he learned this parak of Orvar right. Even though this is a parak that has to do with Taharis, and now the question is, why is there a hefsek between the fourth parak? We're up to the ninth parak. So Tosfos goes ahead and explains that one tangential parak followed another, because we also had in parak Behema Makasha, we had about the Indian of Isos Benoit. So that brought about the parak of Isos Benoit. And then over there, we spoke also about Shechita Sheinu Ruya. So he already went into Shechita of the din of Kisui Adam. And since he spoke about Kisui Adam, which is Noig by Chaya V'Oif, he spoke about Gid Anasha, which is Noig by Chaya and not by Oif. So that's Per Gid Anasha. And since in Per Gid Anasha, he spoke about a Yerech Shenis Bashul by Gid Anasha, and there's a Bli of Isser. So then he already learned the halacha of Kol HaBasar, of mixing of Basar v'cholov together, and after we finished all those tangential parakim, now we get back, Hadir l'inyana kamaisa, says Taisus at the end, we come back to Arva Raita, which is really linking up to Perek Dalet Behema Makasha. Before we go into this Mishnah, let us get some basics on Tumas Oichlin and Tumas Tevelis. So number one, Tumas Oichlin refers to Tumah that was contracted by a food from an object that was tame. For example, a mace or an avela or one of the shrutzim that the Torah tells us, the nine shrutzim, which all of them give out tuma. Tumas nevelas refers to the tuma of either an animal carcass which was not shechted properly, or an animal carcass, even if it was shechted properly, but it was from a tame animal, a non-kosher animal. So the carcass, even with shechita, would be a nevela, and that conveys tumas nevela, to people, to kalim, utensils, or to food. Now, how big does the food have to be, in the case of tumas oichlin, to A, receive a tumma from, let us say, a sheretz, or to give tumma to other food or beverages. So to convey tumma to other food or beverages, it's no question that it needs a kebeya, a volume of an egg. As far as contracting tumma, lahachnis tumma, to get the tumma in, there we find in the Torah's Kanim that midaraisa, even the small amount of food, could become Tomei. And so Paskins the Rambam and Hilchus Tumas Ochlin, Perek Dal Halacha Aleph, Midaraisa, the smallest amount. However, Toisus in our Masechta and various other Masechtas, but let's concentrate on our Masechta, Dav Chav Dal Rambeis, Divra Maschal, HaToyra, he says that a small amount, less than a Kebeya, is only Makabel tuma midarabbanan midaraisa, a kabeya is needed lahachnis, just like it is lahaitzi. Just like to emit tuma to something else, we require a beya, so too, toisashit is midaraisa, you need a beya. It's only midarabbanan that even a small amount contracts tuma. As far as Rashi sheet is concerned, Toisus in Psachim, and Afalamit Givul Amidbeis, Divra Maschal La'emas, brings down that Rashi throughout Shash is Soiser himself. In our Perek, Rashi says that even to contract Tuma, like Toisus Shita, it has to be a Beya, and Toisus there in Psachim, Lama Gimel Amidbeis, believes that Rashi had Charata from his original Psach, that midaraisa, even a small amount, less than a kebeya, is mekabel tuma, and he remained with what he wrote in our perek in several places, that midaraisa, to be mekabel tuma, it has to be a beya like the shita of Tosis, which would not be like the Rambam and not like the Torah's Kanim. As far as tumas nevela is concerned, there, to lahachnis, to get the tumah, lahotzi, to give the tumah, it's always to contract tumah from the nevela, it has to be a shear of a kezias of an olive. We are also going to learn about two concepts which are called yad and shomer. A yad is something that is attached to an oichel. For example, the stem of a fruit, or concerning a nevela, the bone that is stuck to the flesh, the meat of an nevela, that bone is a yad. Then we have a concept of shomer. A shomer by fruit, for example, is not the stem, which is the yad, but the peel of the fruit that guards and protects the fruit. By a nevela, it would be the skin over the nevela. The oyer is a shomer, it is a protector. And by all of these things, by a shomer, by tumas oichlin, or by tumas nevela, the item that is protecting gets the tumah from elsewhere and gives out the tumah. The same is by a yad. The stem of a fruit, it brings the tumah from elsewhere to the fruit, or if the fruit is tameh, it will be moitzi it. It will serve as a conduit to bring the tumah to be metameh other things. So a yad is machnes a moitzi tumah by tumas oichlin and by tumas nevelim. So far the only difference between oichlin and nevela is that the shear of oichlin is a beya, the shear of nevela is a kezayis. There is one other nafkamina, and that is, which is nageya to our Mishnah, can the shomer itself be mitzaref? Can it join up with the ochel, with the food, for the shear, for the amount of a beya or not? Does the ochel itself have to have the amount of beya? So the din is that by Tumas Eichlin, for the shear of Be'ah, the shomer could be mitzarev. The yad, the stem of the fruit, for example, cannot be mitzarev to the shear of a Be'ah. It can only be machnes and moitzi the tumah. However, by Tumas Nevela, whether it's a shomer or whether it's a yad, they cannot be mitzarev to the shear of kezayis of tumah. They can only serve as a bridge, machnes and moitzi the tumah. They cannot join up with the flesh of the nevela to create the amount of an olive's worth. Now that we have this hakdama, let us begin the Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, we're going to delineate 8 items which are not food, but for one of 2 reasons are mitzarif that they should be considered food legabe tumas oichlin. But this will not work for Tumas Nevela. And the 8 items that we're going to list now are either going to be added to the shear of a kebeya by Tumas Eichlin because they're a shomer, and we just said a shomer by Tumas Eichlin adds to the shear, or although they themselves are not normally eaten by themselves, but they are eaten together with food, and therefore they have a din of food. They're, let's say, eaten together with meat, so when I'm eating the meat, I'm going to eat them also. I wouldn't eat them by themselves, but together with the meat, I'll eat them. Therefore, they're considered food, and they're mitzarif to the shear of beya to be machnes and moitzi, to receive tumah from outside and to give out tumah if the oichel itself became tameh. The first one is ho'or. Rashi says that we're speaking about an animal that was shechted properly. The skin of the flesh, ho'or, that is mitzarif. Why? Because it is a shomer, and a shomer is mitzarif to the shear of beya by Tumas Eichlin. V'horaitiv, and the juices that come out from the meat, the gravy. Here it's mitzarif because although it's not something that one eats by itself, but together with the meat, one eats the congealed juices that have now come on the meat. Vaha kefa. The kefa are the, Rashi tells us that vaha kefa are the spices which one used to season the meat. So although you won't eat the spices themselves, they're the ones that settle at the bottom of the pot, but together with the meat you'll eat it, therefore it's considered oichlin. Viha olol, Rashi says, Mefarsh b'Gemara, we'll give one pshat that's in the Gemara, and that is the shreds of meat which are attached to the hide when the hide is flayed. So those pieces of meat are bottled to the hide itself. They have a din of the oir, and therefore they don't have a din of the flesh itself. However, if we say they're like a hide, so then they're a shomer. And we learned how oyer is a shomer, so that all of these little scraps of meat that are attached to the hide have a din of the hide, that they too are a shomer, and they're mitzarif to the shear of beya for tumas oichlin, voat samas, and bones. Now here we're speaking, as Rashi explains, that inside the bones there's moich, which is the marrow, which is edible. Around it is the bone, which is not edible, but the bone serves as a shomer, a protector of the edible marrow, and therefore it's mitzarif. Vahagidin, we're speaking about kosher gidin that one is allowed to eat in an animal. Again, you wouldn't eat it by itself, but together with the meat, you'll eat it. Vahakarnayim, and the horns, Rashi says that we're speaking about at the point of the horns, where if you would cut it, they're very soft, and blood would come out. So even though you wouldn't eat it by itself, but you'll eat it together with the meat of the animal. V'hakarnayim, v'hatlofim. And the last of the eighth one are the hooves. Rashi says, Mishum Shomer, this is because they are considered a protection of the foot, and therefore they are mitzdarf together. So in all of these eight, the halach is mitzdarfim, letame, tumas, oichlim. They're mitzdarf together to be metame, tumas, oichlim, avaloi, tumas, nevelois. But here, tumas, oichlim is more chomer than tumas, nevelois. For tumas, nevelois, they're not mitzdarf to the shear of kezias. And the reason for this is, Rashi brings down, because the pasuk says, benivlasa. And we learn out from there, v'loy bat somas, v'loy begidim, v'loy ba'or. Even though they're a shomer, because when do I say that a shomer has a din of oichel? That's only by tumas oichlin, where Rashi says that's considered a tumah kala, an easy tumah, as compared to tumas nevela. Tumas oichlin can't be matama adam. Tumas nevela can be matama and adam. So tumas nevela is a much stricter, stronger tumah than tumas oichlin. So by tumas oichlin, they're mitzarif. But for the tumah chamura of nevela, it has to be the nevela itself. A shomer doesn't work. And Rashi points out that from these eight things that we learned above, for example, the gidim, or those pieces of olol, those little pieces of meat, you could be mitzarf them maybe for oichel. You can consider them oichel, they're food. But you cannot consider them nevela. They're not the actual flesh. Here you need nevlasa. Here you need the actual flesh. Certainly, Rashi says, the roitev, or the kippah, the seasoning, or the gravy that comes out, the juices, so that's certainly not considered part of the nevela. You might somehow consider it eichel. Fine, that's for tumas eichlin, but not for tumas nevela. Ki yaitze boy, I'll give you another example where something will have a din of tumas eichlin, but will not have a din of tumas nevela. And that will be the following case. Before we get into this case, we have to make a slight hakdama, and that is that we know that if someone performs shechita, so even though the animal is still has convulsions and it's moving around, the halacha is that the shechita is matur even if it's still moving around, and there's no iser of aver menachai for a Jew to take the limb from this living animal. It's not considered living anymore. Midrabbanan, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, tells us that there is an iser to wait until it has stopped with the convulsions. Now, if someone stabbed an animal, or the shechita was not a valid shechita, so then, while the animal is having convulsions, the meat would be considered aver menachai, and this would affect a goy, because a goy, although he can eat the nevela, so once it totally died, then he'd be allowed to eat it, even though it's nevela. However, while it's still having its convulsions, the goy will not be allowed to eat it, because a goy is also mitzvah on aver menachai. Now, let us say a Jew shechted a kosher animal, and it's having convulsions. At that moment that it's having convulsions, a sheretz touched it, so of course it has a din of oichel, because for a Jew, there's no iser aver menachai at that point, it's considered food. And therefore, it could get the tumah from the sheretz, and then it also could convey the tumah to other foodstuff. What our Mishnah is now going to discuss is when a Jew shechted a non-kosher animal for a goy. Now, and the animal was having convulsions after the shechita. At that moment, a Jew can't eat it because it's not kosher. A goy can't eat it because it would be considered aver menachai. So when the Jew is doing the shechita, he's really not accomplishing anything because nobody can eat it. But however, concerning tumas eichlin, we'll say a very big chiddush. That what? that since he is using shechita, and he, for him, the act of shechita has an effect, that it, on a kosher animal, for example, this would permit the animal, even though it's having convulsions. So even though he's doing the shechita on a non-kosher animal, which for himself or for another Jew would not accomplish anything because it's a non-kosher animal, you can't eat it. But he's doing it for a goy. And since a goy could eat this non-kosher animal, so therefore there's a big chiddush which the Mishnah is telling us, and that is that the shechita by the Jew for the goy of a non-kosher animal makes the animal that's having convulsions, that it's considered as oichel, and it'll be mekabel tuma, and it will give off tuma. Let us see the Mishnah inside. Hashoichet, kiyotzeboy. Another example of where something would be tumas oichel and not tumas neveles. Hashoichet, a Jew who shechts, behema tmeya, a non-kosher animal, loivet kachavim, for a goy, mufarchesis, and it's having convulsions, metame metumas oichlen, it will be considered food, legabi tumas oichlen, avaloi tumas nevelos, but it will not be considered tumas nevelos, ad shetumas. By nevela, it has to be totally dead, oya chiatis is roisha, or until he cuts off the head, because then, even if it's moving around, we say it's not considered alive, it's considered dead if the head is totally cut off. Now, Rashi, In the first wide, very wide line, Hashoichet behema tmeil oivkechavim. So Rashi points out that four conditions are necessary here. Let's read the Rashi inside. Vidafke Yisrael. It has to be Yisrael. Vidafke Shechita. It has to be a Jew doing Shechita. Vidafke Tmeya. We have to be speaking about a case here where he's shechting a non-kosher animal. Vidafke loivkechavim. It has to be only shechting a non-kosher animal for a goy, not for a Jew. And now Rashi explains. Yisrael sheshachet behem etameil etzarchar evit chavim. He shechted a non-kosher animal for a goy. Voidim and for cheses. And it is having convulsions. Afal gavdele chazil oivit chavim. Even though the goy can't eat it. The bemisa tal yemisa milsalim ben noich. A goy has to wait till it's totally dead. Veloi sharilu shechita chetamas. And shechita won't work for it until it dies. Afil ahachi. Even so. Hoyel v'yisrael shachat shechita mal yisi. Since a Jew shechted it, it's a good shechita. V'ashkechon legabi Yisrael, the shechita sharia legabe b'toira. A Jew uses shechita to permit a kosher animal. Hilkach, mashvilei machshavta. His thought that he wants to use shechita here for a goy who is allowed to eat a non-kosher animal, his machshava makes it ochla, food, b'shechita af. Even though it's non-kosher, if he's doing it for a goy. That's why it has to be here, which means a Jewish shoichet, not a goy, because a goy never is able to avail himself of shechita. Shechita was given to Jews, not to goy. So it has to be a Jew here. It has to be a Jew doing shechita, because a Jew has no power with nechira. He doesn't use nechira. Nechira to him is making it even a kosher animal into a nevela if he just stabs it to death and doesn't shecht it. So it's only to a Jew whose shechita works by a kosher animal. Let's skip a few words here. So Rashi's asking a question. Why do we have to say a non-kosher animal to a goy, which a Jew is making shechita? Let's say a Jew is making shechita on a kosher animal. So Rashi says, of course, if a Jew is making shechita on a kosher animal, of course, while it's having convulsions, it's going to be considered oichel. The kol shechein to have you ochla miyad kish b'shechitasa. That's, of course, we want to tell you a chiddush. That's why our case here has to be a chiddush, even by a non-kosher animal. Rashi says, why don't we do a non-kosher animal where a Jew is shechting for another Jew? V'tmeo li Yisroel lo mashulei ochla, de batla machshavtoi. If you're using shechita on a non-kosher animal for a Jew, for himself or for another Jew, even though he has the kavana, but shechita doesn't work for Jews on non-kosher animal. So that's why the only way we can get this case
is by having these four variables. It has to be hashaychet, means a Jewish shaychet. What is he shechting? And he's using shechita. And what is he shechting? Only a non-kosher animal. It's certainly a kosher animal, but even a non-kosher animal. That's the chiddush here. And for who is it loivet kachavim? For a goy. So then we say that while it's mefarcheses, it has a din of tumas oichlin, but not tumas nevelis. Why? Because nevelis, the Rashi brings the pasuk v'chiyamus menabei mekziv. The pasuk says it has to die or the head is cut off, which is tantamount to death. And now the Mishnah adds, Reba letame tumas oichlin mimashi reba letame tumas nevelis. The Torah has all of the halachas that we learned in this Mishnah, the eight items which are added to the shear of Kibbeah for Tumas Oichlin, which are not added to the shear of Kezias for Tumas Nevelis. The Torah was marbe, more things become Tomei by Oichlin than Nevelis, and this last case also, where it's Mefarcheses, where the Jew is shechting for a goy, a non-kosher animal, it has Tumas Oichlin, does not have Tumas Nevelis until it actually dies. Rabbi Yehuda, and the reason perhaps why the Mishnah is adding this general rule at the end is to tell you, as Rashi says, hakosev, riba hakosev, that these are all dina midaraisa, from, we learn it from psukim. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, ha'olol, hamechunas, im yesh bo kizayis, makom echad chayv olav. Rabbi Yehuda is coming to argue on the Tanakhama. The Tanakhama made a statement that olol is not considered a oichel, but it's mitzarif together for the shear of a kibeya for tumas oichlin. But legabe nevela, it's not considered a nevela, because nevela has to be the meat itself, and this is bottled to the skin, and skin is not considered part of the shear of Kezias of Nevela, says Rabbi Yehuda. But if you gather these little pieces of meat that are sticking to the skin together in one place, so then your machshavah now makes it into the actual flesh of the Nevela. And then, if it has a shear of a Kezias, these little pieces of meat all through the skin, and you gather them together in one place, your machshava will make it into an oichel, and you will be chayiv for basar nevela. It's the flesh of a nevela. It's not bottled to the skin in that case. And chayiv alav, and toises, and daf kuf chof aleph, amid aleph, divri amaskel, Rabbi Yehuda says, hod loikomer metamet tumas nevelas. Why didn't Rabbi Yehuda just say, it's metamet tumas nevelas? Don't think it's metamim rabbanon. La'achikamer chayov and alav. That's why he ends off the Mishnah with the words chayov alav. It's not a din derabbanon. It's actually, according to Rabbi Yehuda, a din deraisa. Tanakama disagrees. Tanakama holds that it remains, even if he gathered it together, it remains part of the skin. It's not considered part of the nevela, and therefore he will not be chayov alav. A machloikis, Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda.